it's Steve and Dave again. We are two guys in a river. I'm Steve Mathewson.
And I'm Dave Getz.
No doubt we all want to catch more fish. I want to, and Dave needs to.
Ooh, that hurts.
But we're all about fly fishing and our love for the outdoors, so let's get after it. Dry fly fishing is my favorite, hands down. But after that, it's streamer fishing.
Really? More than nymphing?
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to catch trout on a nymph, but there's something that I find exhilarating about fishing streamers, and maybe that's because I grew up fishing MEPS spinners for trout.
Do you remember building MEPS spinners when you were in college?
I remember building those spinners. Yeah, they weren't MEPS. MEPS would not want to be
associated with
my spinners. But yeah, I did. I made those things. I started doing that in high school. And well, I think, yeah, when I was like a freshman, even in Rocky Mountain National Park, my brothers and I would put those things out in a rock by our campsite and sell them.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you ever sell any?
Oh, yeah. We'd sell them for like a dollar, and you know, people would buy. They worked. You know, they were.
Yeah. I remember using some of them.
Yeah. So maybe, I don't know, maybe that's why I like streamer fishing, because it feels a little bit that way. But what we want to do today is to talk some streamer basics. Now, when we talk about streamers, the one that comes to mind first is the woolly bugger. And then there's all these variations. Dave, I was, I remember a few years ago, I stopped at the Missoula Angler in Missoula, Montana, and I think I bought some wading boots for one of my sons, but I was on their website and just looking at some of the top streamer patterns. I just love the names of these things. So you've got the Dirty Hippie, the Olive Baby Ganga, the Gunmetal Creelex, the Sparkle Minnow Sculpin. Okay, that sounds more mainstream, but the Articulated Flathead and Sculpzilla. And then the Boogeyman, yes. So anyway, there's all these fun names, but these flies tend to be bigger, and they're not imitating insects, but rather small fish, you know, bait fish, minnows, sculpins, crayfish, leeches, things like that. And they tend to catch bigger fish.
In, it was March, I was in North Carolina, and I stopped into a fly shop, and the guide was there, and he was the fly shop monkey and the guide that day. And he was just saying he has stopped doing any kind of other, you know, fly fishing. He doesn't dry fly any fish anymore. He doesn't nymph fish. And he said, yeah, here's a recent pick. I just caught this on Tuesday, let's say. And he showed me this 25-inch brown. He said, and I caught this in 6 inches of water.
You know, I remember, it reminds me, Dave, I caught a big brown. It was close to 20 inches. It was in the Gallatin River, just not far from where we lived in the Gallatin Valley. This is the main Gallatin, but it was kind of a fairly far, you know, north. In fact, it was only about a mile from where the East Gallatin and the main or the West Gallatin run together, but I was out there, it was on a Sunday afternoon, I can't remember what time of year, probably fall, but there was a brown that was, I got up and I said, oh man, here's this brown swimming around in this really shallow water. I mean, it was a foot or less, and there was no way that I could have, you can't run a nymph through it because there's no current. And I mean, maybe I could have enticed him with a dry fly, but I threw this big streamer in, just a woolly bugger, and caught the thing.
Wow.
So
wow.
And yeah, it's you do. You can get some big fish that way. So as we think about streamers, one of the basics has to do with color. Now what do we need to know there, Dave?
The traditional thinking is that on sunny days you can use lighter streamers, like white streamers. So the other day I was fishing in the Driftless, and it was a sunny day, and I decided to switch to a streamer. So I switched to a white, probably a size 8 woolly bugger, right?
Okay.
And at the end of the day, I had one hit, and I saw a flash of a trout come up for it. And I was fishing nymphs, really. That was where I had the most success that day. But So the traditional thinking is on sunny days you fish lighter colored streamers, and on darker days, meaning gray, overcast, darker streamers.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's true. I mean, is that really true?
Yeah, we violated that. In fact, do you remember once, Dave, a few years ago, we were in a fly shop in Bozeman, Montana, with the former owner and the owner were talking about a stretch of river we were planning to fish, and they were both talking about, well, this is what they really like, this has been what's working. And one guy was talking about darker, you know, colors like an olive, a black, maybe a brown. The other guy was saying, oh man, I always fish, you know, white, or I think he might have even tied an olive fly that had white in it. And, you know, and these are both smart guys, and they both, by the end of the conversation, said, yeah, probably doesn't really matter what you use.
Exactly. I do think we overthink a lot of this stuff. Some of the more earth tone flies certainly work well, and the darker flies, I don't know.
It does make sense. Now, I know when we fish before, like in the tributaries, Lake Michigan tributaries, that say like the Milwaukee River, that if you're fishing for salmon or steelhead when they're running, something bright, like a pink or a purple or something with red in it. These really, sometimes I wonder if again, size isn't as important as color. But you know what? I think we've had days, though, where they wouldn't hit a lighter color to save your life, but then you put on a black woolly bugger and all of a sudden, boom, they're hitting it. So, yeah, you're right. I remember fishing in Alaska several years ago, and a white, big old white Dalai Lama was the fly that these rainbows were hitting on. So, you know, and two, one of the flies I really like is that JJ Special.
Yeah, I love the colors and with the cone head. Yeah.
Right, it's yellow and brown, which are kind of the color scheme of a brown trout. Now, we know that trout see color differently than we do, but still, I think with those colors, and maybe it's because that particular nymph has rubber legs as well. Maybe that's what works, but we both caught cutthroat on those things, not just brown trout. That's been a great fly in Yellowstone National Park on the Yellowstone River.
I think the point here is that if you're intent on fishing streamers and you're not catching something after 30, 45 minutes, switch it up. I mean, we're back to what we always say, hey, mix it up, go to a different color.
Exactly. No, that's so true. So another issue is leader and tippet size. Dave, my sense is, just our experience, but listening to experts, is that your leader doesn't have to be as long as it needs to be when you're nymphing or you're dry fly fishing. I mean, I tend to use 9-foot leaders for everything, but you can easily get away with a 7.5-foot leader. In fact, sometimes what I'll do, maybe this leads into the next thought too, is that your tippet size, it can be a little bit thicker. I mean, these streamers are big. They're, you know, maybe they're 2 inches long, and they're bulkier, they're heftier. So you don't have to have a 5X or a 6X tippet. You know, you can.
Well, I will argue that if you've ever tied on like a size 6 or size 8 streamer and you put it on a 5X or 6X tippet, you're so frustrated. You can't cast that streamer because it's not firm enough. The leader is not stiff enough.
No, and then when you get something on, you'd have to play it light because it's such a light tippet. But anyway, my point was, I may have a 9-foot leader, and if I've been fishing for dry, if I've been fishing dries, maybe there's tippet on, and I'll just pull that off, and you know, by the time I'm done, by the time I get up to the size of tippet that I want, if you can even call it that, it's now an 8-foot leader or a 7.5-foot leader, but you're right, the tippet can be a lot thicker than, you know, when you're fishing a size 18 dry fly. So,
and sometimes you're just using the leader itself. You use a 9-foot leader.
Right.
I think you want to be at, if you're fishing a size 6 or size 8 streamer,
yeah,
you need to be at 3X where you tie that on.
Right. 3X, maybe 4X. But and occasionally with even bigger streamers, you can go down to a 1X or 2X maybe. Maybe I don't know if I've ever, not very often have I used a 1X. But the point is, if you use a 3X on a tiny dry fly, it's going to look like a rope is attached to it.
Yeah.
And no fish is going to take it. But on a big streamer, that's not a problem at all. Okay, now let's talk about how you actually fish a streamer. So you get your big streamer on, you've got a leader that might be a little bit shorter than usual, you've got a decent tippet size, you tie on this this big whatever kind of a fly you're using, a JJ Special or just the garden variety, a woolly bugger or one of those funky patterns that we talked about at the beginning. How do you fish a thing? What are some of the techniques that you would use? And I'll say this, those listening to our podcast, if you're a veteran fly fisher, you know these already, but I think the review's helpful, and maybe new fly fishers, maybe this will help clarify what you do when you fish that streamer.
So I think you fish it in many, many ways, and there's probably no real rules. They're just techniques. So one of the first ones is that often people will throw it downstream and strip it back up. So I had one of my best days in the Driftless. I always say that for all my days, but it was in February, and I was fishing a black woolly bugger, and I would just get to the top of the run, and I would toss it down the run, and I would let more line out, so it would get way to the bottom of the run, and then I would begin stripping it back. Mm-hmm. And invariably, after the first or second strip is when I would get the hit, way at the bottom of the run. Now, this was in winter.
Yep.
So the point here is one technique is to throw it downstream and to strip it back. And so what's so important to remember about a streamer, again, you're not trying to make it a dead drift, right?
Right.
This isn't a dry fly. It's not a nymph.
Not a nymph, right.
Right. It's like a fish. Mm-hmm. It's a small fish, right?
And
or small crayfish or small slug of some sort. So the point here isn't the dead drift. So one technique is to cast it downstream. Obviously, if you're throwing downstream and it's a small creek, you have to really sneak up to the head of that run because the fish are facing upstream, right?
Absolutely. You know, one of the best streamer fly fishers I've ever fished with was a friend in Montana named Jerry Hespin. And Jerry had actually taught a friend of his how to fly fish, and the guy became, at the time, I mean, this is 30 years ago, the guy was the lead guide for the River's Edge Fly Shop in Bozeman. But Jerry would, you know, we would go out on the Gallatin River, the main Gallatin, and again, not that far from where, a couple miles from where we lived, the last place that we lived, and, you know, we'd do that. We'd go from big pool to big pool in the fall because the river was down and the fish are stacked up in these big pools, and we'd get at the top of it and we'd just throw it down and then pull it back against the current, and man, we caught some really really nice fish. So that's that classic method, the strip, throw it downstream, strip it back against the current. That really does work.
I think another method is the drift, where you use it almost like a stone fly and almost like you're nymphing, right? You cast it upstream and just let it drift down, and then you wait to strip it until at the end of the drift, you kind of lift the tip of your rod up and start to strip it back. So and often you'll get a hit right there. Now, if you're fishing smaller creeks, you can't do that. The one thing I miss when I'm fishing streamers in small creeks, like where we fish in the Driftless or the Midwest, Southwest Wisconsin, Southeast Minnesota, Northeast Iowa, though we've never fished in Northeast Iowa, but in Wisconsin, and these creeks are small. So you really don't get the swing, right? Because it's such a small run.
It's a smaller window, a smaller swing.
But in these bigger rivers where you can cast out and you can dead drift it almost, And then at the end of it, strip it back. I just love that.
So with the drift, yeah, you're throwing it upstream, maybe a 45 degree angle. And then at the end of the drift is where you practice the swing, right? So when you start, how does it work, Dave? I guess when you start retrieving it at the end of the drift, I mean, the fly swings across the run or the stream automatically, right?
It does, right. Yeah. Right.
And that's where you often get that strike. So, yeah, that's a great technique. And here's a bonus idea that I think our listeners are going to want to consider if you're drifting and then swinging, and that is to consider putting a dropper on it. So I know I talked about this in a recent podcast, but last fall when we were in fishing Yellowstone National Park, we were staying in West Yellowstone and kind of commuting from there just because of one of the road closures. We had a good day. You know, I caught a bunch of beautiful cuts on. Yeah, I think it was a JJ special.
Yeah, it was a JJ special.
Might have had a woolly bugger on too. And did you use that, or were you doing nymphs? You were catching them too.
First day was all nymphs. I did. I had rubber legs on the top, and I was dropping.
Yeah, kind of a stone fly. That was a great combo.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so I caught fish, but I was also frustrated because I missed two or three for every one that I caught, and part of that is because they are cutthroats and they don't seem to hit it with the ferocity of a brown trout. So remember, the next morning before we took off, we went into Blue Ribbon Flies in West Yellowstone, that the fly shop that Craig Matthews, had founded, and those guys are great. And I was just talking to one of the guys about that, one of the guides, and he said, "Here, try this." He said, "Tie this, drop this particular fly." And when we talk about dropping a fly, we're just, so you tie some tippet material on the bend of the hook on your woolly bugger or your stream or whatever it is, and about 8 to 10 inches later, then you, or maybe even 12 inches on a bigger river, you tie on another pattern. And he said, "Here, try these shaky beelies," and they're, I don't know, are they about a size 14? It's a little bit bigger fly.
I think it's bigger. It's probably a 10 or a 12.
I think you're right. Yeah, 10 or a 12. Yeah, yeah, you're right. And I should have brought one just to describe it. But anyway, I put that shaky beely on, and we went that day. Oh, my word. That was just dynamite. And I think I caught two fish for every one that, I mean, we caught, 25, 30 fish a piece?
That was crazy.
Cutthroats. I mean, they're 15 to 19 inches, just incredible. And I bet two-thirds of them were on that shaky beely. And I think there's other things that would have worked as well, but just having, in that case, kind of a big, kind of a wet fly with some, was kind of like an emerger pattern, wasn't it?
It almost looked bigger. It was a almost a soft hackle.
Yeah, that's
it's kind
it.
Of
yeah,
a
it's more of
size
a soft hackle.
8,
yeah.
10, size yep. 12 soft yep. hackle almost. Which it's an odd looking fly. Yep. It has a long shank to it.
Yep.
And it's kind of an odd looking
it
fly.
It is. Well, and then times are we fished on the East Gallatin right near where I used to live in the north part of the Gallatin Valley, north of Belgrade, Montana. Remember a couple years ago, we were dropping those batwing emergers.
Yeah.
We'd have a nymph, but then, and that was nymphing, but it's the same principle. Man, sometimes having a dropper, just like you would with a nymph, and maybe an emerger type pattern or a soft hackle.
Well, one thing I do in the drift list, and I've done this, in fact, doing this podcast today reminds me that I should try this again. I should have tried it the other day when I was out, is to drop a San Juan worm off of that streamer.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you'd think, what? But I've caught, and some of my biggest fish there, and again, I think my biggest is between 17 and 18 inches, I caught when I was drifting a woolly bugger, but I had dropped off the woolly bugger a San Juan worm about 6 to 8 inches.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they hit the San Juan worm.
That's interesting. And that swing, it just looks like a worm that's been dislodged.
Yeah.
And it's just floating across. So, Yeah, that's a great approach. All right, so we've talked about stripping it. We've talked about drifting and then swinging a fly. I think there's another one, Dave, that we've noticed can be super effective.
So this is a super effective approach, and I am a neophyte in this. And this is comes from your friend and now my friend, Dave, out in Montana, who's a former fly shop owner and a guide and Trout Unlimited. He worked for Trout Unlimited for quite a few years, and he does this to perfection.
Oh, he does. Yep.
And so he fishes these smaller creeks, and he usually does it quartering down, although you can do it across, you can quarter up, but he does it often quartering down, and he'll cast this fly, and he's such a perfectionist in terms of his fly casting. He can do it right against the bank, and then he twitches it back to him. So, but he does it by raising the tip of his rod, not by stripping it like the traditional method is. So imagine you throw your streamer against the bank on the other side, say quartering down, or even straight across, and you bring the fly to you by twitching the rod up. And it's that twitch of the tip of your rod that creates kind of, I think it's more authentic movement.
Yeah.
And he is so deadly.
Oh, man.
When you fish with him, he catches 5 to 7 fish to every one that you catch.
Oh, man.
But he can go into a run you just cast in and catch a fish out of it. And you didn't catch a thing. And you move on to the next one. He's just amazing at it.
Oh, he really is. Yeah, I mean, we can't over-exaggerate the effectiveness of that. And I mean, we're both trying to do that and trying to learn that more effectively.
And I've caught fish that way, but to catch fish consistently in all kinds of water that way is something I aspire to.
Yep.
It is one of the skills that if I looked at my whole repertoire of what I can do fly fishing, it's the single thing I want to get better at.
That's a cool thing about fly fishing, isn't it? There's always some adjustment you can make. There's always something little to learn as well as big things to learn, and that's pretty cool. Well, here's a final tip. Use plenty of weight. Dave, you already said this. You've got to get to the bottom of some of these runs or these pools, and so, I mean, one thing you can do is you can add split shot, and when I do that, I've learned I can just put that right at, I mean, you could put it 6 inches up or a foot up, but I typically put it right, right in front of the streamer I'm using, and it seems like that prevents tangles. Maybe a little bit more effectively. It doesn't seem to bother the fish. They don't seem to be scared by, oh, that looks odd, that split shot. Better yet, we really like streamers that are weighted, and so cone heads. Well, it could be. Could be a bead head woolly bugger, but the bead's big and it's heavier. It could be a cone head or what I would describe as, I don't know, there's a technical name for this, but the heavy eyes.
Yeah.
It's like on a JJ special. I mean, they kind of look like the mini dumbbells that we use at the gym.
Yeah.
Probably now that's the size we actually use, right?
The mini dumbbells.
But I mean that really helps you get down there, and that's so use plenty of weight.
Yeah, I think it's harder in the if you're fishing smaller creeks, then you probably don't need that as much. I'll say this one last thing, this one last little tip is that this guide out in North Carolina at this fly shop, he uses weighted line, sink tip.
Okay, yeah.
So he adds that, you can add these tips to your leader. And so he uses that just to get that down. So you can definitely use some of the sink tip material added to the end of your leader. I've never used them. I've used sink tip line, but you can add sink tip to your fly line.
I've heard that too. That would be interesting. I've fished with sink tip line and it works. I've used it more in lakes. I think we used it once on the Missouri River
near
Helena,
that.
Which just is a bigger river. But I don't know. Maybe I'm such a lightweight person that I just have never liked sink tips as much, but they are effective.
Yeah. I think in lakes, you're right. I'm not a sink tip person either, but I was thinking about there are some runs that, you know, you're just not deep enough, and you need to get that thing all the way to the bottom.
Yep, that makes a difference. So I guess the takeaway today is strip it, drift it, swing it, twitch it. Come on, Dave, do the twitch. You know what?
I don't think you want to see me do that.
That's what I'm going to shout when there are other fly fishers in hearing distance. We're on the river, one of those crowded days. I'm going to say, Dave, do the twitch.
Yeah, I think we'll have the river to ourselves at that point, don't you think?
I think so.
Just don't tell me to strip.
Yes, yeah, we'll stay away from that one. All right, happy streamer fishing. We hope you get out. Maybe there's something on our podcast today that will help you catch more fish. So that'll do it for today. That's a wrap. Thanks again for listening. I'm Steve Mathewson.
I'm Dave Getz.
Until next time, we are two guys in a river.
For the love of fly fishing and streamer fishing.
Yes.